Good afternoon to all. And we would like to open our Bibles to a small prophet. They are called small prophets, not because they're short, but because the books they wrote they are short. So in the Old Testament, we have the greater prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah, and after those come the minor prophets. Okay? The book of Amos. Let's try to find it together. It is just before Jonah and Obadiah, and after Hosea, after Joel. All right? The book of Amos. Now, the book of Amos is a book that is not altogether easy to read. And this is why many don't know. When we study the Bible, sometimes the minor prophets are the last part that sometimes we study, right? And in the book of Amos, there is prophecy. And today I would like to look not at the prophecy, but I would like to look at the only little piece of history that we find there. Okay, the book of Amos, chapter 7. In the book of Amos, there's one little part, just a few verses, that really is a story. And I believe since we have small ones here, and we have middle ones, and we have older ones, I think we need to say something for everyone. And I'm not sure that I'm going to take all the time, but we will just start and read this little story that we have here in the book of Amos. And you will see that it is a story that is very relevant for our times. Could we start reading from verse 10? Amos chapter 7 and verse 10. And there it says, "Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee thy way into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was not prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman, and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, Prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus says the Lord, Thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. Thus far the reading of the word of God. Amen. Well, what we have here is highly relevant for our times, because it speaks here of a situation where Israel was in a state where they did not obey God anymore. We could apply all this now to our times today. You see, Israel was divided into Judah and the 10 tribes and all over, and they did what they wanted, and they had installed a certain worship style that they wanted. You know, maybe that there was a worship, they were starting worshiping against golden calves. And not only one, but two. And so they had installed their worldly worship. They had installed something according to their own mind. You see, one thing we cannot do is we cannot just come together and decide, now how are we going to worship? There is an order for all this. But Israel was there and they just did what they liked. They had a king, and the king felt that the place for worship now was Bethel, and that he could now do as he liked. So you see, there were golden calves that they had taken something from the heathen, they had taken something from other religion and mixed it into their worship style and everything. And so they were going far astray. And also, the king had his priest. He had his priest called Amaziah, right? That we were reading here. And this priest of Bethel, and you see, he's not the priest at Jerusalem, he's a priest at Bethel. Because they just decided, you know, the place where God had decided to have his name to dwell, which was Jerusalem, he had decided, no, we don't need Jerusalem, we do it in Bethel. Why not do it just as well in Bethel? Why should we say that only Jerusalem is the right place? No, we cannot have it over in Bethel too. And not only so, we can have our own priest. Why not? So they had their own priest. And this priest now, called Amaziah, you see what he starts doing? He sends now to the king, because when you see in this book of Amos before, he had done a lot of prophecies. And these prophecies, they are really going against all the enemies of Israel. So he starts with all the enemies, and as long as he was speaking about the enemies of Israel, everybody was happy, because they were like, yes, amen. Okay, these enemies, well, yes, you're right, what you prophesy, you're a good prophet. And you say against those enemies too? Oh yes, how right you are. And over there, those that attacked us the other time? Well, you prophesy against them, you're a good prophet of God. And then he said, but Israel, I also have something to say to you, and he condemned them. Because they had installed their own worship as they like it. And when he came to that part, they went like, what? You're saying against something against me, against us? Well, what is this now? So this prophet Amos, they looked now differently at him, and especially those that were being attacked by it. But he was just speaking the truth. And he was just bringing the word of God, wasn't he? Now those... you see, if he was now saying Jerusalem is the place to be and not Bethel, then it would mean that the priest of Bethel would lose his job. If the people was now listening to him and would start to come to Jerusalem and not go to Bethel no more, what would happen? The priest from Bethel would lose his job. So what does he now think, Amaziah? He thinks, I better start doing something, you know? I better start going... against that man, because he's starting to make some progress here. We never know if the people start to listen to his prophecy, whatever. We'll see what comes out of that. So what he does is this. He goes to Jeroboam, the king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee. So he's now saying, he just doing a conspiracy? He just trying to change the people against you? You see what he's doing? Be careful. And he starts saying all kinds of lies about Amos. Amos has conspired against thee, verse 10, in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. He says, is pressing on us what he's preaching. We just don't want to hear that, and nobody should hear it. And it's just bad for the people and for the land. King, you need to do something. Oh, what does he else say? I think he continues to say something. And then he says, for so and so says Amos. You see, it's always bad when we start saying what some other has said. You see, here he says, especially when we don't give it right, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. If we quote somebody, nothing wrong with that. Some quotations are great. Some people, they have said some great sentences, and we learn some wisdom from it, and then we quote them, and we repeat them. This is all well. But this man here, the priest of Bethel, Amaziah, he's trying now to put some words into the mouth of the other one, of Amos. And he says, this is what he said. Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Well, it was not altogether a lie. He had said something like that. But he didn't say it just like that. He said, if you don't repent. You see, there's always a way of repentance. It's not that he was just condemning. And today, the same message applies to you and me. God is still saying that if you don't repent, you end up in hell. This is what God is still saying today. But he says that it's not something where there is no possibility to return. Because he says, repent, and your sins shall be blotted out. For confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, right? From all unrighteousness, actually. So there's wonderful promises, but we need to hear, we need to repent, we need to turn to the Lord. Otherwise, that which he has said, which will happen at the end. So the prophecy that we hold today, even the gospel that we preach today, is also true. It's just as true, the word of God, and we say, if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, well, you are on your way to hell. And this is where you're going to end truly one day. And now you have the choice. You either accept it or you refuse it like the people of Israel did. Now, the next thing that we see here is that Amaziah not only goes here to the king to tell all kind of lies behind the back of Amos, the prophet. He not only attacks him at the king, but now he also attacks Amos directly. And you will see what he tells him. What he tells him is things that we hear even today. And we hear it very practically today. Now look here. He says to Amos, O thou seer. Thou seer, you know? Thou like prophet. A seer is a one that could see, you know, in the future and tell things about the future in some ways. But he was the prophet. Huh? O thou seer, go. He says, go. Flee thee away into the land of Judah. Flee thee away into the land of Judah. He was despising him. He was saying, listen, this is Israel, the 10 tribes, and Judah is over there. And if you so feel that Jerusalem is the right place, then you just go there. Leave us alone, man. This is what he's saying. So he says, flee thee there. Flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. Oh, what are you doing over here? Telling out all kinds of things. Go where you come from, kind of. And then, what else does he say? But prophesy not against any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel. Oh, it is the king's court. You see? You see the attitude they have? It's not God's chapel. It's not God's church. It's not God's people. It's the king's chapel. It's like when you hear somebody preach from the pulpit, it's my church. Huh? These are things we hear. And this is exactly the language that you see. Whenever you hear somebody say, it's my church, there's something wrong because the church belongs to the Lord Jesus. So, this is what he's doing here. The king's chapel and the king's court. You have no authority. And he goes further. Yet now he starts to tell him, then answered Amos and said to Amaziah. You see, Amos answering now. But he answering him according to his thinking. What is he answering? He says, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. And that means also, some have remarked that the prophet's son means I did not go to no prophet school. We could say today, I did not go to no Bible school, you know. I am no prophet like an ordained prophet. This is what Amos is saying. He say, I'm not that. But, he says, I was a herdman. You know, I was a shepherd. Amos was a shepherd. He had little sheep and bigger sheep. And he was there out there on the fields taking care of the shepherd, of the flock. He says here, a shepherd, a gatherer of sycamore fruit. He was also gathering some fruit and making a living with that. And what else he says? The Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now I'm going to ask you, and I'm speaking now to you, those that are believers amongst us. If the Lord tells you, go somewhere and prophesy something against someone or against some people. Do you do it? You know, when we preach the gospel, in some ways we prophesy something against people. Because we're telling them, if you don't confess your sin, if you don't repent, you are on your way to hell. Now, will the people say, praise the Lord, you came to tell me that? They will not say that. They will reject us. They crucified the one we're preaching. And if they could, they would crucify us just the same. Now the question is, are you ready to be crucified? Are you ready to follow the Lord no matter what cost? Are you ready to follow the call that He has given you? This is the question. Amos said, listen, the Lord said, go prophesy unto my people Israel. I have to do it. Because it's the Lord speaking. And when the Lord speaks, we better listen, right? I'm asking you, are you ready to listen to God's voice? Now, what we see further is, therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, says, thus says the Lord. This is always good, when we start saying, thus saith the Lord. When we can preach the word, and not, thus is my opinion, or thus is how I feel. No, it's not about my feeling, or my opinion, or whatever I might bring. It's thus saith the Lord. But when we say this, we better make sure it's Him who says it. Right? But once it is He who says it, and once it is us being sent to say it, then let's say it. And let's say it very clearly. And then the people will be cut through, like with a two-edged sword. And they will be forced to listen. And they will do listen. So it is here, thus saith the Lord. Now what it is, the prophecy that he has now is, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. You know what he does? He's telling them, listen, since you continue your mixed worship between idol and God worship, and you try to do it your own way and so on, you will see that everybody will be brought out. Your wife will stay behind. She will have no means of income, and she will turn into a harlot because she has no other means. And you will die outside in a polluted land, which means outside of Israel. You will be dying there, which was the most horrible thing, you know, for an Israelite. You know what he's doing here? He is sticking right to his prophecy. He is sticking to the message that God has given him. He's not getting off course. And I tell you, and I want to encourage each one of you, we have a message today. We have a message to preach. And we should stick to it, no matter the cost. And the message is the gospel, and it's the glorious gospel, and it includes much more than just being saved by grace through faith. It is not just this. It goes much further. And it includes all the gospel, even of the Apostle Paul. He could say, my gospel, and what revelations about the preciousness of the church that the Apostle Paul also has received. And also, this is not a popular path. But again, I want to stick first to the gospel of grace and ask anybody here that is sitting, are you saved? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? I'm saying as your Lord and Savior. I'm not asking if you have received Him by praying a little prayer sometimes in Sunday school in the past. I'm asking you, have you received Him as Lord and Savior? Have you surrendered your life to Him? You see, when we become Christians in the true way, it means that we are following the Lord Jesus who was crucified. We have our own cross now on our back, and we walk with that cross, and we are ready to be crucified ourselves. We have given up everything that was dear to us. We have surrendered to Christ. He's our Lord. This is what we basically have said. Yes, the world might creep in. Yes, we have the flesh in us. Yes, we have things that could sometimes get us off track a little. But God is going to bring us back on that path of faithfulness. We can't say, oh, I backslide and live like devils and then think we in the end we might still be saved, or we don't really know, or we have to get right first. It's not about this. My friend, if you live like this, you are not saved. Because it says no fornicator, no drunkard, and so on, nobody of this kind will enter into the kingdom of God. We have to really surrender to the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, make Him Lord of our lives. Only this is showing that there is truth in our hearts. But it is not through works that we are saved. We are saved only through faith alone. Not by works, lest any man should boast. But if we say we're saved and then we don't see the works, then it means that we are not saved. Because if the works are not there, then it was not true. There needs to be work in our heart that the Lord Jesus wants to operate. Has it been done in your heart? Have you surrendered to Him? And those of us that are Christians, again, as I close, I want to encourage you. The Lord wants you to carry out the gospel into all the world. And that includes Nevis and our neighbors first. And this is where we want to start. And we want each and everyone wants to preach the gospel, wants to bring people to where the Lord is in the midst. We want to gather them there. We want to bring them under the word. Can we sit down, please? Thank you. And what we want to do is this. We want to bring people to the Lord. And so we have a wonderful task as Christians, but we want to be true to it. And then we get opposition. People starting to oppose us, to try to stop us from doing that work. And the question now is, will we stop? This is what Amaziah tried to do with Amos. And he was trying to stop him from doing his work. And he said, stop prophesying your things. You're not supposed to teach these things. Don't do no Bible study no more. Don't do no preaching, no open air, no nothing. Don't do that. It's not good. Oh yeah? Is that the voice of the Lord? It is not. The Lord told us, go into all the world. And this includes everybody. And I tell you one thing. I believe the Lord is coming soon, very soon. And because He's coming soon, every person that I take in my car, and be it just for 30 seconds, somehow I need to make sure that I pointed them to Christ in one little way. It's either that I tell them, you saw what I have on the back of my car? Maybe today. The Lord is coming soon. Or something. I want to make sure that nobody's going to tell me one day, you know, you gave me that little lift there? You could have said something to me that was so important to you. If you really believe that I was going to hell, maybe, if you should have found out. If we are true believers, and if we believe truly that the Lord Jesus is coming soon, if we believe that those that have not accepted Him as Lord and Savior go to hell, if we believe this, we are going to speak to people every time that He gives us an opportunity for that. We might not always preach the whole gospel, we might not quote John 3:16 every time, but we will use opportunities to point them according to the leading of the Spirit. May the Lord help us. No matter where we come from, no matter if we have education or we don't have education, this Amos, he didn't have none. He was taken from the shepherds. And the Lord was using him because he was willing to be used. May He help us, all of us, to be used by Him for His glory. Amen.
Just to continue, we saw here Prophet Amos being rejected, and no place was found for him. They told him, go to Judah with your prophecy. We have no place for you here. And as we continue, we also want to look at another prophet in his generation who was rejected, the prophet of God rejected, and his prophecy rejected. In Hebrews 11 and verse 7, he says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And so here again, another generation where a world has rejected the authority of God and has rejected the prophet of God with his prophecy. And he says, Noah here, move with reverence towards God, not ever having seen rain or flood or whatsoever, you know. And it, you know, he's a man just like Amos who was there serving God, going along, but he obeyed God just as if God was literally, visibly reigning there in that world at that time. And he says, for 120 years, Noah preached that message that judgment is coming. And they laughed him to scorn. And they said, Noah, you are a fool. You know, you're building a boat on dry land. You know, there is no place for you here. You know, we don't accept you and we don't accept your message. But he says that Noah saved his household by preparing that ark, and he became the heir of the righteousness which is of faith in Jesus Christ. Noah also was a preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, he preached the word of God, and he owned the things of God, and he owned God, and he loved God in a day and a generation where God was rejected by the hearts of men, and they wanted nothing to do with God. But one day, God stepped into the midst, and he judged them, and Noah saved his home, his family, and became a heir of righteousness. And so I just encourage us, this is the age in which we live as well, so we are, the Christ has been rejected, we are the Son of God has been rejected. We find that today, when Christ lived, there was no room, just like they tell Amos, go to Judah, man, no room is here in Israel for you. That, you know, no room was found for the Son of God in the inn at his birth. When he was a big man, no room was found for him to lay his head. The Son of Man had no place to lay his head. In his death also, no room was found for him as well. And they couldn't see him as anything else but just a common criminal. And they rejected him. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Let's look at the rejection of the Lord. And what does it say to us in this day where we still see men and women rejecting Christ, rejecting his authority, rejecting his rule and his reign. In Matthew 27 and verse 22, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? They all say unto him, what? Let him be crucified. We don't want him to reign over us. And so the world rejected him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And the governor said, verse 23, why, what evil has this man done? But they cried out the more, let him be crucified. We don't want him. And then he goes on in verse 25, the people answered and said, his blood be upon us, man. Get you rid of him and upon our children. And so they rejected Christ. And so we see that we have a Christ who was crucified. We have a Christ who this world hated, it despised, it rejected. And the only thing they wanted to have to do with him was to put him away in death by crucifying him. And so Jesus, verse 26, when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him up to be crucified. And verse 27, and the soldiers and the governors took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And look at what they do with our Lord. And they stripped him, and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee in mockery, not in submission. They bowed the knee in mockery rather, and they mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. They spit on him, verse 30. They took the reed and they smote him in the head. After that they had mocked him, they took the robe off, put on him his own raiment, and they led him away. And they said, away with him. Let's get rid of him. Let's crucify him. Verse 35, and they crucified him and parted his garments. And so we see that we follow that rejected man, but We are encouraged to own that rejected man today, in the day of his rejection, in the day when this world has shut him out and sent him. Listen, you go back to heaven where you were. We don't want anything to do with you. Right? He says, verse 39, they passed and they reviled. They that passed and all, they reviled the Christ and they wagged their heads, saying, he that destroyeth the temple and buildeth it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God. These are the same words his enemy used back there when he was tempted for 40 days. After he was tempted, the enemy, that old Satan, he said to him, if thou be the Son of God. And here it is, the world watched on. They jeered and they boo and they look on him and they say, if he be the Son of God, yes, we'll show him whose side God is on. If he be the Son of God, let him come down off of the cross. And so, verse 43 again, he trusted in God, let him deliver him now. And so what we find here, they rejected our Lord. They have rejected our Christ, just as they rejected Amos and they rejected Noah and so forth. In verse 46 of Matthew 27, Jesus cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And to the eyes of the onlooker, his enemies beheld him and they say, yes, we have him. Let's see now if his God will answer him. But you know what? God chose not in his divine wisdom to answer at this time. God chose not in his divine mercies to answer him at this time. Do you know that God could have come here and destroyed every single rebellious one and every enemy which beheld Christ and waited for that answer? He is calling, my God, but no. God's wrath will one day be poured out. And thank God that he didn't in blind rage and fury pour out his wrath then, because where would we be? But God looked ahead in that he knew that he would want a testimony that this same man that the world rejected reigns and is both Lord and Christ. This same man who the world had nothing to do with, God has exalted him to the highest place and has placed him in an authority far above thrones, mights, dominions, principalities, and power, and given him a name which is above every name that is named in this world and also in the name to come. And so God knew that he wanted this testimony on the earth as well. And so he withheld his wrath. You see, my friend, as much as God will judge this world and his wrath will be poured out, it will be poured out under perfect control of the hands of God. God does nothing out of blind rage and fury. If it was left to us and this was our son being rejected, we no doubt had just in fury and blind rage just sent a legion of angels and destroyed them all and finished away with mankind. But God, even though it seemed to the enemies that God had forsaken him, God was waiting and in patience to see the fruit, to see witnesses establish that Christ reigns, that Christ is Lord. And verse 49, he said, the rest said, let us see whether Elias will come. And they're still looking on. Verse 50, and he yielded up the ghost. He yielded up the ghost and he died. But the world thought that they have done with Jesus, right? They thought they have put him in the grave and that's the end of him. We have gotten rid of him. We wanted nothing to do with him. But this same Jesus resurrected on the third day and has came forth. And you know what? He could have also showed himself to the entire world and the enemies, and they would have seen that indeed the Lord was on his side and not their side. But God wanted that in his mercy, many would bow the knee in submission to his lordship in this the day of his rejection. In this the day when he has been rejected and he has been, as it were, reigning from heaven, and the kingdom here is left to the men of this world. God has established a testimony, and this testimony is the church. This testimony is men and women who have bowed their knees in submission to his lordship and his authority in the day when he is not present here on the earth, in the day when he is not visible here on the earth. But we as believers have bowed in submission to him as though he still is reigning and is literal, visible, in control of this world right now. God has us here established as a testimony of his lordship. And so this is what God desired, and this is why to the eyes of this world he is a rejected man. He is a man who has been shut out and put away. But in the eyes of us, we know better. We know that he is both Lord and Christ, this same Jesus which the hands of cruel men crucified. And so God would have us to live that testimony, to accept him, own him, love him, embrace him in the day of his rejection. Why? Because one day he will commence his reign. One day this same Jesus will now pick up where he left off, where they put a sign on his cross, and they said, "This be the King of the Jews. Hail Jesus, King of the Jews, crucified." One day he will pick up right where he left off, and indeed he will commence his reign, for he has every rightful authority, and God has made him both Lord and Christ and exalted him to a position of rulership which is beyond anything that anyone could imagine. In the book of Daniel, we see somewhat of his reign. Look at Daniel with me, Daniel chapter 7. Just a few verses here in Daniel chapter 7. Concerning the Lord in the day of his coronation, in the day of his reign. This same rejected man will commence his reign right here, visibly on the earth. But we have chosen, while he is scorned and rejected, to already bow the knee and submit to his lordship. And the beauty about it is that this same world who have cast him out and rejected him will one day also bow the knee in submission to him. But they'll be forced to, whereas we in submission of our heart and our choice have chosen to bow before him now. Daniel 7 and verse 9, he says, "And I beheld, and the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, and his garment was as white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool, and his throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire." Verse 13 of the same chapter, he says, "I saw in my night vision, that behold, one like unto the Son of Man, come with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him nigh before him." Verse 14, "And there was given him dominion, there was given him a glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him." And so we find that one day, this same Christ who is rejected and his reign has been, as it were, rejected at this time, will one day be given dominion. He'll be given a kingdom and glory, and he says that dominion will be over all people, all nations, and all language, that every knee should bow before him and serve him. And so I admonish us to live for him, serve him now. Do you know him? Have you bowed the knee of your heart in submission to his lordship this day? If not, trust in him now. He says that he is not willing that any should perish, but is long-suffering to us world, so that we might be saved. For his will is that all should come to repentance, and all should own him now, claim him now, in the day when he is rejected, and bear his reproach. Whatever, come whatever, and whatever this world offers us, own him, and serve him, and bow the knee in submission to him. And so, this world will always continue to reject our Lord, but our Lord is claimed by us. Our Lord is submitted to by us. Our Lord reigns indeed in our hearts and lives and in his church. And God has established this testimony on the earth that this rejected man is both Lord and Christ. And so serve him, know him, live for him. May God bless his word to our hearts, and may each one, if there's any who does not know him, bow in submission in this the day of his rejection, and in the day of his reign, you will be honored before the Father, For he that denieth me, I will also deny him himself. And if you are ashamed of him now, he will also be ashamed of you before his Father. May God bless his word.
Amen.